Your AC works overtime all summer, so be sure to replace your old air filters with new Filtry air filters. They recommend updating HVAC filters at least every 3 months all year round. So order your Filtry air filters today at Filtry.com. Let's clear the air.
This is Jen Kelly with the Louisiana Hospitality Foundation, and you're listening to Flourish Truly.
Live from New Orleans, home of good food, good music, and tons of fun, this is Tina and Jeff with Flourish Truly. Hello, Jeff. Happy Flourish Truly Tuesday. How are you today?
Oh, it is good. It was supposed to be French Quarter Fest weekend, and of course, you know, it was probably a good thing that we've moved that later on. The weather has been horrible, and finally, we have some nice temperatures, beautiful skies. If Jazz Fest was happening right now, I don't think anybody could ask for anything better, except for the mud that would be tracked all over.
Of course, you know, everybody loves that mud, but we do have Jazz Festing in place getting ready to start. So, and I did just post that on our social media accounts. The cubes are out, and there is a link about getting the great food that you can get at Jazz Fest. So yes, we won't be there in the spring. It'll be tentatively scheduled for the fall, but yes, you can. Jazz Fest in place again this year. It was so popular last year that they're doing it. They're bringing it back again this year. So we'll still be partying. We'll still be having a good time. I know, Jeff, you love that every single year.
I really do. And I did the Festing in Place last year. I'm looking forward to Festing in Place again this year. And then also to actually festing this year too. And of course, you know, this weekend, we've already got our first real festival back up and running out in St. Bernard Parish. The Crawfish Festival returns this weekend. And that is surely going to be a big hit. They've got to try to do some things to limit the crowds and try to keep things running. But I think it's great to see us finally getting back into that swing where we can enjoy life at least somewhat the way we did a year and a half ago.
Yes, it's going to be a really good time. And who does not want to eat crawfish? And speaking of a good time, we have Howie Kaplan with the Howlin' Wolf with us today. Hi, Howie. How are you? Say hello to our listeners.
How you doing, guys?
Doing good, Howie. It is a pleasure to have you on the show. And of course, you have got so many things going on. I can't wait to dive into it with you.
Well, it's let's just say it was tough to sit there and stare at four walls, so we figured out ways to keep ourselves busy.
Yes, perfect. We actually talked about y'all about 2 or 3 weeks ago on the show. Y'all were one of the first places to reopen March 19th to have live music, which was really great to hear. And I know, Howie, you have such an interesting background, but also you've done so much during COVID to really help the musicians that have been out of work. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you and your background and how you came to acquire the Howlin' Wolf. It's been around a long time. It was in Fat City initially, and then they moved to New Orleans. But I tell our listeners a little bit about your background and what you've been doing for the last year with Meals with Musicians.
Well, the Howlin' Wolf started back in 1988 in Fat City, a little corner bar. It was there for a few years and then moved down to 828 South Peters, was there for 15 years. I took it over in October of 2000, and we moved over across the street to 907 South Peters. It was the home of the Praline Connection at the time. And, you know, and there was a music venue here called the New Orleans. Oh, God, I can't even remember the name now. I'm having a brain fart. But it was a music club for a few years. But it's we've been here since October of 05. We moved here right after Katrina. And we've kind of just gone with it since then. Again, I just celebrated my 20th year back in October 1st. And it's been a very interesting journey. So to go to the COVID stuff and stuff during lockdown. I don't know if y'all were here during, during Katrina, but I remember back then we had, you know, the folks from Drago's and Fat City were feeding people. There were, you know, the restaurants were open. People were just coming back to start fixing up their homes, and they set up in their parking lot and they were giving away meals, you know, hundreds of meals every day. And it's usually like a pasta dish or a rice dish. And I remember volunteering there, you know, in between, you know, taking care of my folks' house and family's houses and my own. And, you know, that really kind of stuck with me. And it's been a big part, you know, recognizing that our neighbors take care of each other better than anybody else does. And so when it first came down, we recognized that, you know, music venues, places like the Howlin' Wolf and Tipitina's and DBA and the Maple Leaf, you know, these treasured institutions, they were going to be the first to close and the last to open. And, you know, with that means that none of the musicians were going to have a chance to work. You know, there's a network of places, you know, inside the city where, you know, all these musicians, you know, take care of each other. And so we recognized that food insecurity was going to be an issue and that they were going to have issues with a lot of things. And so we made a call over to Bethany Boltman and Erica over at the Musicians Clinic. We had been good friends and good partners for many, many years. And we said, you know, what else can we do here? And so we started a program called Meals for Musicians. It was feeding our culture bearers. So it's musicians, first responders, hospitality workers. They're all part of the cultural economy and our culture here in New Orleans. And so every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we were doing free meals. And we took that a step further to not just give people meals, but give them access to resources. So the clinic already had a network in place of over 2,500 patients. And what they were doing was they were helping us with unemployment insurance, with navigators, helping folks with getting on Medicaid, getting housing assistance, getting food stamps, all these things that people were, you know, qualifying for. And, you know, it was really nice because we had a musician that actually had, you know, had been playing in the quarter for years and he'd had a bum shoulder and never realized that any of this was there for him. And we forced it on him and forced it on him. And finally, we hadn't seen him for, you know, 6-7 weeks. And he came in and he finally got shoulder surgery because he finally was able to do that. And there were quite a few stories like that. And as this has gone on, the program itself has evolved. You know, now every Wednesday, we still deliver meals to over 150 people with a volunteer service, you know, bringing them not just meals, but essentials, fresh fruits, vegetables. And these are all culture bearers, folks that initially couldn't leave the house. And so, you know, that's just the beginning of that program. And it's been a really, really interesting journey, you know, meeting more of the community. You know, we also manage bands like, you know, the Rebirth Brass Band, Big Sam, and, you know, working with, you know, the Hot Eight Brass Band. And it's, you know, it's not just taking care of musicians. These are taking care of members of our family.
That's the one beautiful thing about this city is that, you know, we come together in the worst possible times. I know you brought up Katrina, but I mean, that's really, you know, testimony to the city and how incredible the people are. You know, we do for ourselves, we do for others. And I know I read y'all are currently like over 45,000 meals y'all provided through Meals for Musicians.
Yeah, we just passed 45,000 meals.
That is incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I know you also partnered with the Front Porch Project as well.
We did actually. They were going around and helping folks out, I guess with establishing an online presence. There's a bunch of different projects and a bunch of different partners that are part of this. The New Orleans Fish House was helping us with donations. Leidenheimer, whenever we need bread, you just go over there and the folks over there have been fantastic. Other restaurants, places like Nirvana, Anjay and his team over there have been, you know, ground zero of this. And there's a ton of different restaurants and folks, the Bywater Bakery. I mean, I can't say enough good things about folks like that. And, you know, getting donations helps, you know, defray a lot of those costs. And it's you hit the nail on the head. This is a community effort and nobody knows how to take care of New Orleans quite like New Orleans does.
Correct. So for anybody listening that wants to donate, please tell them where they can go, what website and a link that they can go on there and help y'all out.
Well, there's actually two different places. One is the mealsformusicians.org website. That's a way to donate directly to the Meals for Musicians. You can also go directly to the New Orleans Musicians Clinic, which is NOMAF, I believe, .org. It's the New Orleans Musicians Assistance Foundation. And going through them, you actually get a tax break as well. So, and these are people that are working on the front lines every day to provide health care and assistance to the folks that make New Orleans so unique and so fantastic, our culture bearers.
Absolutely amazing. We will definitely share that on our social media pages as well once the show is released.
We definitely want to get that word out. And I got to tell you, Howie, you know, Howlin' Wolf, as so many places went dark during the pandemic, and there was so much that, you know, just wasn't out there. You know, the Facebook page for the Howlin' Wolf stayed active. There was always something else brought up. And I think that is something that really speaks to the work that you and your team were really putting out there. And so we saw things like, you know, the Manny Fresh things that were coming out quite a bit, and just things that were helping to pass the time for people that maybe couldn't be at the venue, and nothing that was really bringing in any money to people, but still just providing something to the community in addition to all of the other, you know, physical things. That was such a much needed thing for the community. I think that was really great. And so now we fast forward to the point where we are starting to get the music back on the stages. We're seeing the bars being able to stay open a little bit later, especially in those hours when things were having to shut down early in the evening. That was kind of the time that things were just starting to blossom. And even though we're not to where we obviously want to be ultimately, what does the picture look like for you right now?
Wow. Well, it's kind of muddled. I probably need to clean my glasses a little bit, but it's been a year. You know, it's almost like the last year didn't exist, and everybody's kind of in the same boat. You know, hate to bring up Katrina again, but after Katrina, you know, we had the support of not just, you know, our neighboring states and across the country, but people from all over the world came to New Orleans to help support us. And right now we kind of need that help again, but even though everybody else is still going through the same thing, New Orleans is a very unique city. You know, we are a tourist-based economy, and we've got a building right down the street from the Howlin' Wolf, the convention center, from March of last year through the end of this year, you know, $1.4 billion in direct spending. That's insane. That's money that just doesn't come back.
Right. You
know, that's not like a rescheduling a concert. Those are dollars that the city needs and the city loses. And there's a great ecosystem that exists when those dollars come in. I mean, we've got some great numbers, you know, places like the Howlin' Wolf and Tipitina's independent music venues. When you spend a dollar there, $12 to $15 goes back into the local economy in direct spending. That's humongous bang for the buck, because you have people that come from all over the region. They come from all over the country. They fly in, they stay at hotels, they eat at restaurants, and they come in for that show. You know, we've talked to a bunch of the different, you know, hotel folks around us, and, you know, they can tell when we have a sold out show. You know, the picture is it's moving forward. We've been working fantastically with the state. You know, we lobbied for the governor to relax the restrictions and allow us to reopen and start for the bars and the music venues and the restaurants to serve after 11. And he relaxed those restrictions. A week later, we had a press conference here at the Wolf where the city announced relaxing both the live music permits and our alcohol permits, being that we weren't able to use them for the year before, and giving us credit for that. That was a huge step. But also what came out of that was a conversation with the mayor and her team about relaxing that 11 o'clock curfew and moving it back to 1. You know, her and her team finally recognized, and I'm sure they did early on, that, you know, that bars aren't the problem. Live music isn't the problem. You know, we're part of the solution. You know, many of the bars and restaurants and live music venues in the neighborhoods are watching out for their neighbors, you know, and very much different than it is in other cities like Austin or Nashville.
Right.
You know, here our live music venues and our bars are, you know, they're almost like community centers. You know, as we continue to move forward and start recognizing what restrictions we can and can't do, you know, right now we're up to a cap of 150. But we invited out the city health department, the state health department, and said, this is how we're going to do these shows before we even started. And so tell us, you know, what we're doing wrong and what we're doing right. And we were so pleased that we actually, you know, did it right. Tipitina's did the same thing. You talked about March 19th, and that was a kind of a watershed day, because it had been 367 days since we had done a show.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone that's, you know, spent their entire adult life for live music to not have it, you know, it was bittersweet, because, you know, you kind of got to sit there and you can't dance. We like to call that the footloose rule.
Right.
That was exactly what we said on the show too.
So somewhere Kevin Bacon is giggling his ass off. So,
right. Exactly.
You know, it's been an interesting journey, and understand that we're a part of the solution to bringing music back safely. We've been aggressively vaccinating our musicians and our culture bearers. In fact, we did, when the vaccine was still, you know, kind of in short supply, the state health department got us some extra vaccines. We did 238 folks at the Ashe Cultural Arts Center, and that was headed by the New Orleans Musicians Clinic, who continue to do amazing work. We did one with the city here about a week ago. We called it a shot for a shot, and you got the Moderna shot. And we got one of our liquor suppliers, Grey Goose, to give us some liquor to give away. But it's there's some really great things going out there, and I can't say enough good things about, you know, how we're moving forward. And, you know, you really want to tell the world how great New Orleans is doing. You know, tell them that every one of their musicians is vaccinated. So when you came here this last weekend, you saw the Rebirth Brass Band, every single one of the guys vaccinated. You come and see the Hot 8, every single one of them vaccinated. Everybody on our staff vaccinated.
Right.
So it's about safety and moving forward and working together.
And that's the follow-up question I have to that. So you have demonstrated so many of the successes that have been able to come from it, and kind of to piggyback on that, are there things that we have learned during this pandemic for the independent music venues, the areas where we're used to having kind of shoulder to shoulder? I know I've been to more concerts and events at the Howlin' Wolf than I can even begin to count. But is there anything going forward in the post-pandemic world that may continue to be something that stays around going forward? What are those things that maybe procedurally, or we saw with, you know, where Tipitina's was having kind of access to some shows that were kind of live stream, things like that. What are those things that are coming out of this that may be more here to stay, sort of say?
To be honest, I think people are, you know, and seeing the last, you know, 3-4 weeks of the music coming back, I think people are ready for that interaction. You know, there's the live streams are nice, and they were a nice diversion when nothing else was going on, when you had to stay in your house, when, you know, you weren't able to interact with your neighbors. They were fantastic. They did their job, but there's nothing like getting into a room with a bunch of people that love a band just as much as you do and seeing them perform live and to feel the music and to feel the energy. And especially for the musicians, you know, right now, you know, talking to some of the folks that have been playing on our stage, it's kind of awkward. You know, they're used to seeing people standing and dancing and, you know, getting into the spirit of it. And, you know, now we have to sit, we can't dance, and it's tough to feed off that energy. So will anything come in terms of safety? I think we've all learned a lot more. I think people need to realize that we've got to wash our hands a little bit more, that it's, you know, it's good to watch out for your neighbor. So I think a lot of the people now that are wearing masks, even those that have been vaccinated, you know, are still wearing the mask just in case, you know, something can come about. But I think, you know, the food and beverage industry, the hospitality sector, you know, every restaurant, every bar, every music club already followed a pretty strong set of safety protocols and sanitary protocols. And I think everybody kind of stepped it up and they're more conscious, but these are all things that existed before. And I think those are definitely the things that will continue.
I think that y'all are really been doing a great thing. I saw that on your Facebook page. I thought that was so awesome. The shot for a shot. And, you know, people that you were mentioning earlier about the tourism, New Orleans is a very hospitable tourism-based city. I mean, we had Jen Kelly with the Hospitality Foundation on last summer, and she's a good friend of mine. And I see their posts all the time. People just don't realize New Orleans has a lot of events that go on throughout the year. I mean, we were talking about Jazz Festival, Crawfish Festival, but people come here just to come and visit the city. And it's those little, you know, mom and pop restaurants and bars and the venues like Tipitina's and like the Howlin' Wolf and all the clubs on Bourbon Street that when they come here, that's what they expect. And I've had people tell me, you know, that have moved away and they live in other cities, other states now. They're like, well, how's the city doing? You know, things are reopened. I'm like, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to promote these businesses and get, you know, help get the word out there that New Orleans is back. We're, you know, because we want the landscape of the city to stay exactly how it is. This is my biggest fear as a child of New Orleans who's born and raised here, is that, you know, the New Orleans that I know from 10 years ago won't be what it's going to be in 10 months from now because of COVID and everything being shut down. So, you know, I commend y'all's efforts and all of things that y'all have done outside of just the music world, you know, to help the musicians, to we had talked about the Crew Red Beans and then help feeding the frontline workers, because it's been a really long year and it's been a struggle and people just don't realize like how important music is to the city. I mean, it is, you know, it is basically the, you know, the culture when people think about all things going on here. Look at all the festivals that we have. They're all mostly music festivals. And it's a great time for people to come out here and visit. And like you said, you know, y'all are doing it the right way. So I really commend that. So my question is to you moving forward. I know y'all had Kermit Ruffins, y'all have the Hot 8 Brass Band, you had Rebirth, a brass band on there. What are y'all looking forward, like some of the big events that you want to promote that y'all have, and some things that you possibly are hoping to do within the next couple of months at the club?
Well, it's funny you mentioned some of that, because you were talking about, you know, the culture and the culture bears and the reason why all these people visit. You know, 19 million people came to the city of New Orleans in 2019. And those are folks that we need. We need their dollars and we need their support. And, you know, we need their love, and recognizing that our culture bearers aren't just our musicians. You know, they're the folks working in hotels. They're the chefs and the waiters and the bartenders. And, you know, it's the guy that drives you from the airport to your Airbnb or your hotel in his Uber. you know, and tells you about the, you know, the place to get good crawfish, or, you know, where to get a good po' boy, or, you know, there's all those fantastic things that make New Orleans so special. And one of the things that we've been working on with the city, and it passed the city planning commission, and it's kind of moving forward, is creating an office nighttime cultural economy. And this is a way to promote the things that happen after 5 o'clock on a Friday, you know, a way to coordinate and a way to make people realize that this is where so many of our dollars come from and how important those dollars are. And, you know, moving forward, not just places like the Howlin' Wolf again, but like you mentioned, you know, places like Frenchman Street and going through the Marigny, and, you know, places like Bullets and, you know, Kermit's Mother-in-Law Lounge, and, you know, Derek Tabb and the Treme Hideaway, you know, over there off of Claiborne. You know, they're all so crucial to everything moving forward. You know, asking about a particular show, you know, we're actually still kind of filling the calendar. You know, every Friday right now, we're doing the Grammy Award winning Rebirth Brass Band. Every Sunday, we're doing the Grammy nominated Hot 8 Brass Band. You know, they've been doing that Sunday here for over 10 years. And, you know, we're going to keep looking at events that make sense. But right now, I mean, we can fit close to 1,000 people in our room, and we're capped off at right at 136, because that's, you know, with the safety protocols we put in place. So it's difficult for the venue to make money doing that. It's difficult for the artist to make money doing that. So on a normal Friday night, Rebirth could do, you know, 600-800 people at just about any venue in town. And here they are, you know, capped off at 2 and change. So, you know, and for someone that hasn't worked for a year, you know, and there are programs out there. I'm also the precinct captain for a group called NEVA, which is the National Independent Venue Association. And if you had heard of Save Our Stages, it was a big thing. It was a bipartisan bill that passed through Congress, was implemented, signed back in December. It's now called the Shuttered Venues Operators Grant as part of an SBA program. And, you know, they've been working really, really hard trying to get that. It passed back in December, and here we are almost at the end of April, and it still has not been implemented.
Oh, wow.
And those are dollars that go directly to independent venues. And it's not making you whole. It's 45% of your lost revenue. So if you had, you know, $800,000 in lost revenue, you get 45% of that. Now imagine you're at home and you've got to pay your mortgage. You've got to pay your, you know, your kid's school. You've got to pay your car note. You've got to pay your health insurance. You have to make all those payments, and there's no money coming in, and you're hoping for 45% of that money. So that's kind of where the industry is. And the process is so difficult at this point that we're actually beginning conversations yet again with the city and the state. The Lieutenant Governor's office, Billy's been a huge proponent of this and has been pushing Save Our Stages since day one. You know, the Mayor's Office of Economic Development, they've been assisting as well, but finding ways to get dollars in, because a lot of traditional New Orleans venues don't qualify because they don't have, you know, some of the things that would be a normal venue in another city won't qualify for those dollars. So this isn't over. And remember, you talk about the festival season. I mean, that's the best part of the year, you know, March, April, and May. That's how New Orleans pays for June, July, and August. So we're going through yet another year without really a March, April, and May. So, you know, I think it's time to kind of take a look and see how we're treating our cultural economy, how we're treating our musicians, how we're treating our venues, and move forward in a positive way altogether. And I feel the city and the state are really stepping up on that. And it's nice to see, you know, all across the city, different venues and different restaurants and bars coming together and all starting to support each other in ways that likely hasn't happened in generations.
Yeah, that's definitely a big thing. And you really were spot on about something that I've talked about on the show a couple of times, when, you know, we have been able to look to other places in the wake of Katrina and other, you know, problems like that. New York was able to look at New Orleans in the wake of 9/11, et cetera. But this is so different because everyone is in the same boat everywhere. You'd have to go interstellar to be able to find somewhere where there isn't an effect. And I think that's really kind of spotlights where we are. And you were starting to talk a little bit about, you know, the grants and how that money flows, the 45% of lost revenues, the differences in that. And Howie, you've been a guy that has been more than just the Howlin' Wolf. You have been somebody who's really been active in the entire music community in New Orleans. Your work at the University of New Orleans, which I'm familiar with, and all these other things. So personally, tell us a little bit about you away from the club and what else that you're kind of, you're doing and how you're getting by, the effect on your family and whatnot.
Away from the Howlin' Wolf? I'm not sure if I've actually gone to that quite yet. You know, I'm lucky that my kids were safe. My oldest was, you know, headed off to university, and my son's school is actually able to do in person. And, you know, their mom has been able to, you know, be there for them while we were doing all of this. And so those are key components of all that, you know, having a strong support system. But I think that the biggest thing that's really gotten us all through that has been the staff here has been fantastic. Even when they were on unemployment, we really didn't have work for them. A lot of them were volunteering and helping us put meals together. You know, there were weeks we were putting, you know, in excess of 3,000 meals going out through various, you know, feeding programs and World Central Kitchen and the FEMA program through the city. And, you know, I think it's just about finding opportunities and seeing where help is needed. A lot of it's self-serving, let's be honest. You know, I've got a 10,000 square foot venue, and without these musicians, you know, I'm kind of just sitting here in a big empty room. And these people are family. You know, how do you not take care of your neighbor? How do you not take care of family? How do you not wake up in the morning and have some focus and have some pride in your community and your neighborhood and in your city? And that's kind of where it's gone. And it's been really great to see the support, you know, not just from our staff, but from other places. You know, we had restaurants that were shut down or, you know, weren't going to be opening for a while, and they emptied out their fridges and their freezers and donated food. We had chefs that, you know, that made trays of food to help us distribute. I can't say enough good things about, you know, all the people that really stepped up in a time of need. And this need, especially for a lot of these elder culture bearers, isn't going away. I mean, a lot of these are folks that played smaller venues, places like Sub Harbor and DBA, that can't reopen right now safely. And so, you know, these are folks that are going to need a little extra help. Places like Preservation Hall, you know, that's a tiny little room. And you know, the music that's been going on there, you know, I mean, you're talking for decades and generations. You know, those are folks that can't work. So I think, you know, coming back to kind of what you were talking about, how we've been dealing with it, I think it's easy to come together as a community when you recognize how important the things are around you and the people are around you. Absolutely. And that's really what's been driving me personally. I don't really know how to stay home and just sit there and watch the four walls. You know, I'm one of the few people out of this that I don't think has binge watched anything yet. So these are all, I guess, good and bad things at the same time, but these are the first steps. Let's recognize that, you know, we're used to having all these people come in town for these fantastic festivals and coming in for conventions and doing all of that. And that's not going to be there for a while. So this is the time we really all need to buckle down and support each other. You mentioned Jen Kelly. She's fantastic and an old friend, and what, you know, she's doing with the Hospitality Foundation is key. And, you know, getting each one of these groups together, getting all the nonprofits, getting all the for-profits, getting all these stakeholders in place and saying that we can't let this happen again, that we have to figure out a way to diversify our economy, that we have to figure out a way to make sure that the New Orleans that you guys grew up in continues to be that New Orleans. You know, it's exactly. Not just about the music, it's about the people. And you put that so beautifully, that it's, you know, you want to the home that you grew up in, you want to make sure stays there, not just, you know, as you get older, but for all of our families and all the children and all the people that visit. And I think concentrating on our cultural economy, concentrating on our musicians and our cultural ambassadors, there's nothing more important right now than doing that. And this is the best time to do it because you have all these people that, you know, that have a little bit more time than they normally would. And yeah. It's been neat seeing all of that come together.
I agree 100%. Now, that's the beauty of the show. You know, we started right before the pandemic, Jeff and I did, and we had all these plans to do all the remote shows at these different events. And then we kind of had to shift gears. And now that the city is reopening, I mean, you know, I've got a loud voice. I'm from New Orleans. So it's just, I want to use this show and, you know, any of our efforts to try to market our local businesses to get them back on the feet and get people to know, hey, New Orleans is here. You know, we're back open. We have events. We have, you know, all this going on. We're not going anywhere. I don't want anything to change. I love the city, you know, with all my heart. And we will do everything we can to try to promote it. So before we wrap, I want to just have a follow-up question with you in regards to if anybody want, I know you have private venue at the Den and people can book it. So if anyone's interested in a private event in the future, how would they go about, you know, getting a hold of you, and then like, what would that entail? So let our listeners know as far as, you know, doing that, because I mean, I think we're going to start to see, you know, like you're talking about the scale of it being a smaller right now, smaller venues and smaller events, and people are starting to host things. So if they want to book something at the Howlin' Wolf, how would they go about doing that? And, you know, do y'all have anything coming up immediately?
Well, it's super easy. You just go to the Howlin' Wolf website. It's the Howlin' Wolf, THEHOWLINWOLF.com. Or you can just go to management at the Howlin' Wolf, and it'll send stuff directly to us. And that's a great way to either, if you're looking to book a band or you're looking to book an event. Unfortunately, the den access is not open right now because the space isn't big enough to do safe socially distanced, but we are working on ways to get that going. And but the main room, we're actually doing, the crew of Tux is doing one of their Mardi Gras parties rescheduled. So they're going to be doing that, you know, this weekend. And there's a lot of, you know, we've got weddings on the books. We've got private parties. We've got three weddings on the books right now. And it's, you know, it's coming back to normal. And people are really, I think, getting excited about the chance to, you know, to see their neighbors again, to see their family again, to celebrate again in the way that we do in New Orleans, so much better than anywhere else. I'm really excited to see people start to come back. I'm more excited to see more and more people getting vaccinated, which means we can come back faster. I think as of this morning, we were at 43%, which is one of the highest of any metro region in the country. You know, like I said, we take care of ourselves and people recognize it. Even folks that don't agree with it are going out, getting the shot and saying, we get it. All right, let's move on. And that's, it's really nice to see that. So again, you go to, or you can, you know, email me directly, howie@thehowlinwolf.com. Super easy to do, no G. And
check out y'all's Facebook page as well, Howlin' Wolf New Orleans.
That's right. Yep. And go to the Instagram page. We're always putting funny stuff up there. But, you know, the best thing you can do right now isn't just supporting the Howlin' Wolf. It's also going to see a live show. You know, if you're not comfortable doing it inside, you know, make sure you go outside. There's places like the Broad Theater and Zony Mash that are, you know, starting to do some outside shows. And, you know, it, when you feel comfortable coming inside, we're going to welcome you with open arms. Our brothers over at Tipitina's have been doing a fantastic job every Thursday. I believe Stanton Moore's doing a little thing there. And, you know, they've got a bunch of things that have been going on, and, you know, we're going to keep doing Rebirth every Friday night. We're going to keep doing Hot Eight every Sunday night. But, you know, I highly recommend you know, it's time to go out. You know, you've gone out to some of your restaurants and you're supporting them, and now you're going back to your bars, but it's time also to make sure we get our musicians back to work and get our clubs back to work.
No doubt. Music heals and music uplifts. And I want to tell you so much. Thank you, Howie, for joining us on the show. And more importantly, thank you for all your efforts that you've been doing through the pandemic to help the musicians and the music industry here, because that is the heart and soul of New Orleans. So thank you so much for that.
No, I really do appreciate you. And I thank both you, Tina and Jeff, for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
And of course, we thank all of our listeners for joining us on Floors Truly this week. And then you can catch us online. I am Tina at The Nola Girl on Instagram and Twitter, as well as our Facebook page is Floors Truly Podcast. And you can catch us on Twitter at Floors_Truly. And we also have Floors Truly Podcast on Instagram. And Jeff, you can tell everyone where they can find you online as well.
Well, if you're in the Twitter sphere, you can find me at The Nola Rola. The Nola Rola is what I go by there. And of course, if you're on Facebook, Jeff, M-A-U-M-U-S, Momus, it is French. Don't say I'm spelling it wrong, because I'm not. And you can find me there on Facebook as well. And of course, you can find me anytime. We're always talking on the Facebook page, the Floors Truly Podcast. I would be happy to hear any feedback, information you have. And Howie, again, thank you so much for your time today. The musicians, I think we're all ready to spend some time swaying together and listening to some tunes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will see all of you again next week on Floors Truly. Have a great one.
Clorox knows you want your clothes smelling fresh and clean, but so what happens? That's why we created Clorox Fabric Sanitizers, to freshen up your clothes between washes, pre-treat extra stinky laundry, and make sure every last odor comes out in the wash. Clorox Fabric Sanitizers take care of all that, and eliminate 99% of odor-causing bacteria. Plus, they're bleach-free and safe for all colors and fabrics. When it counts, trust Clorox.
Okay, here are reasons to try a Nest mattress. One, they have a mattress for every kind of sleeper. Two, Nest offers free exchanges within a 100-night trial. And three, save hundreds on everything bedroom related now through the summer at nestbedding.com.